This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, I have a double treat today. I have in the studio with me Carol J. Perry. Hi, Carol.
Good morning, Patsy.
Okay, it's so nice to see you again.
Lovely to see you.
Okay,
I haven't seen you for a while.
Well, we have lots to talk about, and we're going to talk about that at the bottom of the hour, because first I have a guest, and she is quite a remarkable woman, and I am so, you know, I have lots of interesting guests, but this guest today is absolutely fascinating. Eugenia Lovett West. Hi, Eugenia, did I pronounce it right?
Oh, you did. I'm so happy to talk with you.
Well, this is a thrill for me. It's funny. Somebody sent me your story, and I apologize that I had not read your books before. But boy, I have been busy since I discovered you, because you are quite an amazing author. And I will introduce you as, I think, my oldest author. I did have a guest who was 7 years old, but I think you're a little bit older.
I am 96.
96 years old. That's
and I'm trying to prove to people that you can have that big number and still be very creative.
Well, that's what I thought. When I heard about you, I said, wow. You know, I spoke to Mary Higgins Clark a few weeks before her 90th birthday, and I thought she was doing pretty well. She just came out with a bestseller. But you are really amazing, and you are exactly an inspiration to people, because you've done it. I mean, people dream about writing, and there you lived a completely full life, and then we'll talk about your background. But one of the things that really intrigued me, because I read that you were married to a pilot.
Yes. Going back to back to 1940, 44, I was married to a fighter pilot that I married during the Second World War, and we were married for 60 years before he died, and I had a very conventional life, but I also had the writing life, which has been a great joy.
Now, I'm going back to the fighter pilot, because I married a fighter pilot, and so not that far back, but
he didn't fly missions over Germany, I don't think.
No, but what did your husband fly?
He flew a
P-59. Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Well, you know, pilots are very special guys, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
They are. There's nothing.
They're dashing.
Oh.
They're dashing.
That's the word for them. The minute I saw my husband, I mean, within 30 seconds, I took one look at him, and that was it. I was already planning the wedding, because you know, they are so dashing. They are so amazing.
I agree.
Well, I'm glad that you had so many wonderful years, and that, as you said, on the side, you had writing. And now tell us about the latest book, because you're 96 years old. You come out with a really, really great book called Sarah's War. It reads so beautifully.
Well, I'm very excited about Sarah's War. I just happened to be reading a story about life in a very dangerous year of 1777 in the American Revolution, and it was about the winter of 1777, and Washington had bleeding feet in the snow at Valley Forge, and these British officers were living it up in winter quarters in Philadelphia, you wouldn't believe the parties that they put on, turning the heads of all the little Philadelphia girls like Peggy Shippen. And somehow or other, that just triggered off this interest in that period. And it ended up with, you know, doing a lot of research and this book, Sarah's War.
Well,
trying to immerse readers into a feeling about that very dangerous period of our history.
Well, it is a fascinating book, and you really take us back into that period. Of course, it's sort of all in your area, the where you live. So you know this area, and you managed to create such a very vivid picture of it. And Sarah is a wonderful character. She develops throughout the book. And I thought, wow, she gets to be a very strong and powerful woman who, you know, this is what people forget sometimes, how the importance of women in these wars, whether it was a civil war. I recently talked to Linda Lyle Miller about her book, The Yankee Widow, and how strong women had to be during the Civil War, and the same thing here during the Revolutionary War.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, you know, I have in the studio with me Carol J. Perry, and she's from Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh.
Say hi.
Hi, Eugenia. Delighted
hi,
to meet you.
I was born in Boston. I'm a Boston rooted person.
It's a nice place to be from. I'm happy to be in Florida now.
Well, you know, I met Carol 4 years ago when I started the program, and she's now on her 8th book. And she also came to writing novels a little bit late in her life too, not as you, but it's wonderful that this is a really fantastic thing, that people should understand that writing is such a joy, and that you can keep going and going.
I'm only 10 years behind you, Eugenia.
Oh, really? Oh, well. Welcome to the
ongoing club.
Yeah, absolutely,
the never giver uppers, the ones who are going to do it, because you do it. You show that you're not. Your minds are active and vivid and have so many ideas, and that you're out there sharing them, and giving so much joy to people.
I never have writer's block. These characters in my head just never shut up.
Yeah.
So with Sarah, now tell us more about the book. Tell us about Sarah and how you came to her, and about the story.
Well, I was a mystery writer before I started Sarah's War. I'd published two mysteries, and another one, a third one. The third one is coming out in November, so it keeps on rolling along. So writing history proved to be a little different from writing mysteries. You don't have the framework of setting up the red herrings, the dropping little clues throughout. It's entirely different, and so I had to learn the different techniques in a way. You have to be so careful with history that you don't make a mistake, because especially American history, people are going to pick up on it, you know, like a wildfire. But Sarah just, you know, as Carol would know, and your character begins to feed on itself. And I started out with, you know, a young, innocent, naive country girl, and turned her into a very strong woman who survived heartbreaking marriage romances and whatnot, and was deep into treachery and deceit and spying. It's sort of a romantic spying book with a historical background. I don't consider myself a historian. Consider myself a storyteller.
But you certainly did a lot of research, because as I thought you brought in and blended in real life situations in a fascinating way. So the things that really happened, and Sarah gets involved in there. So I thought your research was really great.
Well, thank you. I think I really tried, and I tried to make it very accurate. So thank you for those kind words.
So tell us a little bit more. Her name is Sarah Champion. I like that name. And tell us a little bit more about Sarah's family and her background.
Well, Sarah was born in a small Connecticut village, and her father was the pastor, the leading figure in town in those days. And she goes to Philadelphia thinking that she's going to help a needy aunt that her mother hasn't seen for many, many years. Sarah, of course, is a very patriotic woman, 18, because her brother was killed in the Battle of Long Island, her twin brother. So she is a violent in patriotic feelings. And when she gets to Philadelphia, she suddenly finds that this aunt is a loyalist, one of the richest women in Philadelphia. She doesn't need her at all. And the story sort of evolves from there. The aunt does turn out to surprise you, and
no, it's fascinating. I also, although I read a lot of this this era of history. I like the Revolutionary War era, and even I didn't realize how the British really, they expected to win. They never expected that they would lose to a bunch of ruffian, you know, wild Americans, and they had a great life.
Oh, they did. The officers particularly. A lot of them were younger sons of they were aristocratic, and they came over because army was, if the older son was inherited the title and the estates, the younger ones might go into the church or into the army. So a lot of these British soldiers living in the Revolutionary War were younger sons who were here to enjoy themselves. You know, they weren't desperately political about it, and the British. And it was the biggest army that the British had ever sent overseas. I mean, they should have wiped us out. But the courage and the sacrifice of these patriotic people is such an inspiration. Because I mean, I think it's fair to say that, you know, we're having a bit of a chaotic moment in history right now. But when you look back and you see what our forefathers are the founders sacrificed life and death situations, it makes you value what they left us.
And of course, when you were writing this story, did you travel to the various locations?
I did. And in the end, I had to cut out so much of my research, which really was painful, but it made the story move faster, so I did.
Well, and it's still there. You have it. So you know, the wonderful thing about being an author is that you know, you can use it again, right?
yeah, you could use it again.
So and is there going to be a follow up to this story?
You know, I think I'll have to The third mystery in the Emma Street Mystery Series is going to be published in November, so I have to kind of go along with my Emma, whom I adore, my other heroine. But after that, I do think I'm going to go back to writing history. I think it's more rewarding for both the writer, because you learn so much in the process, and I think you give the reader perhaps more value than well, I just find it more interesting, I think, now.
Well, you know, but I want to tell you that when as soon as I discovered you, I got your first book of the Emma Street series.
Yeah.
And without warning, and I wanted to tell you that I have a particular love for any book that has opera in it.
Really? Oh, well, wonderful.
So I saw, of course, Sarah, and I realized it was a Revolutionary War book. But then I got this one, and I must tell you, I love this character, Emma Street. And I thought it was a fascinating character. A little bit unusual, an opera singer, you know, all the opera singer, an opera within the book that I just enjoyed reading that book.
Well, I'm so glad. And, of course, Emma, in the third book, she's going to find herself, and she answers another cry for help, and boy, does she get herself into trouble again.
And so, yeah, with her opera singer niece, Vanessa,
the third one, she gets into even more trouble.
Certainly Carol J. Perry knows that, because she writes a series called The Witch City Mysteries, which are based in
Salem.
Yeah, Salem, because she was born on the Halloween Eve.
So. Oh, really?
Oh, it's an excellent birthday.
Yeah, well, she was, you know, it's one of those things where she was meant to be. When somebody's born on Halloween Eve in Salem, they have to turn out to be a cozy mystery writer.
Oh, of course. These are mysteries.
Yeah. Delightful, cozy mysteries.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to go right on.
You have to. They're absolutely charming, and you're from the area, so she writes very authentically about all that area.
I do. I do let her go to Boston once in a while for dinner, but I pretty much keep her on the North Shore for her adventures. And book 9 will be out in October in time for another Halloween.
Oh, how marvelous. I have to quick tell you, my youngest daughter just bought a house in Wenham, which was like a 1670 little house, in which the first owner or the builder was one of the witches, was one of the women that was killed as a witch.
Oh, how interesting. And Wenham is delightful. Have her go to the museum and see the dollhouses.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. No, well, she had lived in Wenham for many years, but now she and her husband have bought a little house. But it first belonged to one of the witches, or one of the so-called witches.
I'm sort of unfortunately descended from one of the girls who started the whole thing, one of the Putnam children.
So, interesting.
Well, Carol has to visit your niece, and maybe she'll set one of her stories, mystery stories. So she's really good at laying out those clues in her mysteries, and so it's lots of fun to read her. And I love mysteries, so I'm glad that you're continuing with the Emma Street ones, because I think you, again, you have these characters in your head. They come somewhere, from somewhere, and then they do just rattle around in there, and sometimes they push themselves out.
Well, I think Carol would agree that they become as real to you as your own children.
Sometimes I feel that I'm just taking dictation, Eugenia. Do you get that feeling that they're writing their own lines after a while?
Yeah, well, they're just a part of you, you know. Mm-hmm. I think people wonder a little bit, or don't quite understand that. Do you feel that you're living two worlds? I mean, one is the world where you sort of
absolutely
eat, and the other one is where you live with all mm-hmm. these interesting people that, you know, you've sort of created, but they're very so real to you after a while.
It's a strange and wonderful relationship, and only another writer can understand it.
I think that's true.
Well, I do want to also compliment you, Eugenia, on the your webpage. You have one of the best writers' webpages I've ever seen.
Really? I'm so interested to hear that, because I keep I've looked at one or two others, and they seem to have, you know, a lot. And they have, but
no, I love the way yours is laid out. I think it's really great. I was really impressed with it.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you.
Well, yeah, there's so many things that a writer has to do, and it's funny in this day and age how much a writer actually has to do for themselves. I don't know who does your webpage, but lots of compliments to them because they did a great job. They capture the essence of your books, and it's really delightful. So, you know, I just want to, again, compliment you on your books. I think that Sarah's War is absolutely charming and a great read, and I know it's available wherever books are sold. But I would also tell people, go to Eugenia's website. I'm going to put it on my website, but people should go to it, and it's Eugenia Lovett West. And I think people will find it fascinating to read about you, to read more about you, and you know, you're an inspiration, because people are living longer nowadays, and it is so sad when you see people who have been dreaming about writing, and then they don't do it, and they suddenly wake up one day and they're pretty old, and they say, well, why didn't I start writing? And so you're an inspiration to everyone that you can keep writing. And writing, your writing is as fresh and smart, well, maybe smarter than, you know, than most people's writing. And it has nothing to do with your age. It has to do with your mind, that you've kept it active. And you're always thinking about some fascinating things.
When you're through learning, you're through.
How true.
Well, I think you've done a wonderful job, and again, Eugenia, I want to thank you. You know, I'm sure that your family is very proud of what you've accomplished, and I'm thinking back to being married in 1944. What a wonderful! I think I have to have you back on so we can just talk about the changes in the world over those years.
Oh, I'd love to. I was just thinking about them today, and I would love to do that. It's just been such fun.
Well, I'm going to bring you back in the summer, and let's talk about that, because you know, you have that firsthand knowledge, and I want to talk a little bit about what life was like from that 1940s period where you were married through the 50s, where people were still, well, you know, they were still dressing up, and they were still, men were wearing suits and hats, and it was a whole different era, and I would just love to have your insight into some of that, okay?
I would love it.
Okay.
Can I come back too?
Yay,
same time?
You can too.
By then I will have read Eugenia's books.
Okay, well, we'll have you both on.
Read yours.
Okay.
Mutual Society.
Okay, that's it. That's the deal. I'm going to put you guys in contact, and we'll have you back, Eugenia, in the summer. I'm going to New York next week, but when I get back, I'll look at my schedule, and I'll send you some open dates, okay?
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Oh, wonderful to talk to you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, we're going to go to commercial, and then we'll be back with Carol.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I have in the studio with me today Carol J. Perry. She's just going to be with us in a minute, because first we are going to play a book buzz that Rita Moreau did for her book, and I always love to hear Rita Moreau's book buzzes.
It's Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. Final Exam by author Carol J. Perry is the latest in the author's Witch City mystery. Here's the buzz. Life at the house on Winter Street is a buzz with preparations for Aunt Ibby's 45th high school reunion, and Lee Barrett is happy to pitch in. But when the local police dredge up a vintage sports car containing human remains, well, Lee is thrilled to be the first reporter on the scene. She quickly learns the car is connected to a cold case her boyfriend Pete happens to be working on. But it's her Aunt Ibby's emotional reaction to Lee's TV report that puts her on the case. With the help of Orion, her psychic feline sidekick, she'll have to unravel a tangled past of secrets and promises to stop a killer from making history again. Final Exam by Carol Perry will keep readers guessing until the very twisted and eerie end. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau buzzing off for now.
Ah, I love Rita Moreau. Hey, Carol.
Hey, here we are back again.
Exactly.
And my friend, Radio Rita.
Radio Rita. Yeah, she gets such a kick out of doing this, and she's getting so good. She's like a one, we're going to have to call her one take Radio Rita.
She is. She's that good.
She is so good, and she has so much fun doing them, and it's been just wonderful, and she always loves to do ones for you.
I did a book signing for Final Exam last month, and Rita was there, and she was so helpful. She was one of the first ones there, and of course, I always have the big cake with the book cover on it, and Rita helped with the cake cutting and greeting people and everything. She's just wonderful. Everybody loves Rita.
Absolutely.
And the cover of her new book is so good.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, but the cover is great.
The House on Xenia. And she writes, that's the fourth in her Mary Catherine Mahoney series, about sort of a cozy mystery with a crazy Greek family involved, and lots of fun. She's having lots of fun writing those, and I think she's on to a new series, so it's really exciting. You know, as you know, I just celebrated the fourth anniversary.
I know.
The years have gone quickly. Yeah. I remember the day we met.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I slipped a book cover to you.
That's right. It was so funny. We met at a writers group, mm-hmm. Bay Area Professional Writers Group. They were having Guild, and they were having a meeting, and we were there, and you slipped that cover, and I took one look at that cover. And now this is very funny. And I said to myself, she's the first writer I've ever met in person. Because I had been doing the radio program for 3 months, and during that time, I'd already spoken to a lot of famous people, but all on the phone from New York. So there, Rita slips this. It was so cute the way she did. She just slips it across the table like, oh, would I be interested? And I thought, oh, my gosh, I nearly grabbed her across the table and started, yes, a real live. A real live author is going to come to the studio. Because, I mean, obviously, unless I go to New York and interview people, most of the very famous ones, although some of the famous ones, if they're in town, they'll come. But most of them, of course, are in New York. Or even now, I do a lot from London. You know, it's wonderful. Jojo Moyes.
Yeah.
Did you?
I heard that one. I try to listen every week.
Before you and after you.
Yeah.
You know, she has like almost 500,000 Facebook likes.
I do not. I am not as good at the social media as I would love to be. My Aunt Ibby in the books is very techy.
Oh, she's great. That's why I love Aunt Ibby. Yep. She's one of the best characters.
Yep. She has many fans.
Yes. But so, you know, when I talked to Jojo Moyes, she was my first one that I talked to from London.
Yeah.
And, of course, having lived in England, it was really impressive to me to talk to an English author. And, of course, she's accomplished so much. Two movies already,
I know.
And I know she's working on the third. I'm looking forward to talking to her. But with so many Facebook likes, as you said, you're not as much into it. And it is not easy for authors. People don't realize how much work you have to do to promote.
Well, to get two books out a year, and this year I'm going to try to do three.
Wow.
And one of them is going to be a romance, which is a new genre for me. And I have joined the romance writers to learn, and I'm learning. And I'm going to try throwing that into the mix and see if I can do it.
Why not?
Why not?
Exactly. It's fun.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're with Kensington, mm-hmm. which we are.
Yeah.
Kensington's wonderful.
I love them. They have been so good to me. The back cover of Women's World Celebrity, the spring issue, has on the back cover 8 cozies, and the recipes that go with them on the back cover is Aunt Ibby's ginger pancakes with lemon sauce is right up there in the top row. And
wow.
Also, my book, among two or three others, is on the back cover of the Ellery Queen magazine in February. So they are just promoting Final Exam, which is the newest one, and I'm thrilled with it. I couldn't be happier. I'm so lucky, so blessed.
Absolutely.
To be with Kensington.
Kensington are just wonderful. And the one interesting thing about Kensington, you didn't need an agent. You went directly to Kensington.
There was luck involved in that.
Yeah.
I know I landed that on the right desk and the right day, but it was just what they wanted, and I've just been delighted with my editor and the copy editor.
You just showed me here. I'll hold it up.
Kensington gave me a lot of those. It's a wonderful wiping thing that you can clean your phone and your glasses and your screen, everything.
Everything. And it's beautiful.
And has a picture of my book on it.
And has your book and a lot of other wonderful books.
You know lots of the Kensington people, don't you?
And John Gilstrap with Scorpion Strike. Yes. I love him. He's so wonderful. And I want to, just say that I'm so grateful to him because he's been wonderful to me. And Little Comfort by Edwin Hill. I love these little giveaways.
I have some more in the car. I'll leave you some more.
Well, good. I will keep this because, you know, it's just wonderful to be able to talk to authors. I'm blessed to be able to do this. And while, you know, I'm sometimes like overwhelmed with gratitude to all of the authors who have been on the program.
I think they love talking to you because you have the strangest, most wonderful memory, and you can talk to them about books, their first book, and you've read it, and you remember passages from it, and they so love that.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I do have this strange memory, and I've a couple times it almost caught me up because I will use some lines from the first pages of an author's book, and they say, did I write that? I say, yes, you did. You did. You wrote that in 1986, and I happened. But these things come to me. It's funny. I love it.
That's
wonderful.
That's a wonderful
time. Well, you know, Final Exam. It's funny. Final Exam was funny because my husband likes to watch that program, that car auction program, you know, mm-hmm. that where they have they bring the cars up on the
thing, and
the Mustang, mm-hmm. And so they had a few weeks ago they had a 1970 Mustang.
Really?
And I was in the other room and I was in the kitchen and they're saying, you know, they start, oh, a 1970 Mustang, and I came zooming out. I said, I have to see that car, because that is a essential element in final exam, which, by the way, I love that, the title. It was so appropriate for the book. I thought, wow, that was clever.
That we toss titles around. Essie Soga is my editor at Kensington, and we tossed several titles around before, and I can't remember. I think it was somebody on her staff that came up with that, and it was just right.
It was just right. It was like,
I was afraid with the word final, though, people might think it was the end of the series, and that bothered me a little bit.
It was appropriate, and I don't know where you came up with the idea of the 1970 Mustang, but
my husband has been in the car business for 40 years.
So you know what a 19, yeah. because it is a beautiful car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I've tried to find a little model. Was red. Yeah. They all seem to be blue in the Matchbox cars, but someday I'll find the little toy one to put on my shelf.
Exactly, because it is a beautiful
along
car.
With my heroine's Corvette.
Yeah. Yes, I you know, so it's funny, all the things that are in our lives that come together when we're writing.
Oh, it's so fun. I give Lee a lot of the stuff I want, like that Lucite 1970s kitchen set she has.
Uh-huh.
I desire that very much, but I can give it to her and be kind of satisfied.
Well, why
not? And I kind of like her car, too.
Well, what's up with you? What are you doing this summer? Are you doing any conventions, any speaking?
You were
featured in BoucherCon 2018, which
was
pretty impressive for an author.
I know. I was really very, very pleased and happy and surprised.
Yeah, because some of the panels were like Lee Child, Tasha Alexander, and Andrew Grant. I mean, like, woo! Yeah, and there is Carol Dame Perry.
There she was. And then I did Sleuth Fest. It was my third time at Sleuth Fest, and I was on a panel there. And I love Sleuth Fest. It's more a writer's conference than a reader's conference, although I desperately want to do Malice. I may just make the reservation and then figure out how I'm going to get there for next time to go to Malice up in Maryland. That just finished up this year, and I still have never done that one. I did a signing over in Boca, just at the Mystery Bookshop, the Murder on the Beach Bookshop. I love the name of the bookshop.
Yeah, it's a lovely bookshop.
And I had my book signing. I told you Rita was there. And it was, you know, when you have a party and you have a good time at your own party, you know it was successful.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best book signings I ever had. So I had friends that I had not seen in years that showed up. And then I had my regular people that come to any event that I invite them to. And some new people that I hadn't met before. And it was just a delightful experience. I only do one local book signing. I'd rather you went to Barnes & Noble and bought my books, really, than come and buy them from me, because it builds my numbers, and I wind up on Barnes & Noble's top 20, have several times now. And that's exciting and fun. This whole adventure, as your previous guest, she's still having such a wonderful time at 96 and going strong. I told my doctor on my annual checkup, and I'm fine, thank you, no, I wasn't there for anything, it was just checkup, and I said, I have to live to be over 100 because I have plans. And he said, well, I don't see why you shouldn't.
Yeah.
So
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you have so many more books than you. Now, turning to romance, this is going to be exciting.
Yeah. I had some time in between contracts with Kensington, and I'm not just going to sit there and not write. And I had thought of this particular romance years ago, and it's been in and out of the bottom drawer, you know. So I started it, and I'm more than three quarters of the way through it. But I joined Romance Writers of America because it's a whole different skill set, and there are different rules to it. Like my mysteries are first person from the viewpoint of Lee Barrett, the protagonist. And the romances, they like alternating viewpoints, third person. This is the current guidelines, anyway, between the man and the woman. More on the woman's point of view. But you can head hop on one page. And this is Oh, this is a rule-breaking thing for me, but I'm learning to do it. And so far, I'm liking my romance. It takes place in Florida on the Gulf beaches. There's a hurricane. There's no cat in it, and I may have to back up and put a cat in it.
Well, why not? Yeah. A cat lost in the hurricane?
It may be a feral cat. I'm kind of interested in that. But I have no deadline on this. I mean, this is just being created, so I can do whatever I want with it, including throw it away if I don't like it. But I think it's going to be fun. And as I say, I'm learning. It's a different genre for me. But men are men and women are women, and there it is. So I'll have a little more romance than there is.
So you have to get into a man's head.
I have a husband who reads this stuff.
That's what I was going to say.
And he likes the point of view so far. So we'll see. He's a good critic. And speaking of cozy romances, The Wicked, that bunch of New England writers, and you've interviewed some of them. And Sherry Harris had a post this morning about how cozy writers don't get the respect we deserve. You know, they say, oh, cozies. Oh, that's just formula.
Oh, yeah.
When are you going to write a real book?
Yes, I know. And that's why Carolyn Hart hates being called a cozy mystery. I mean, it's funny exactly what you said, that it's sort of demeaning, and some people think it's demeaning. I don't think so at all, because if a book makes you feel comfortable, if a book takes you in, as your books do, I mean, I get such a kick out of Aunt Ibby, for example. Your main characters are great, but it's those other characters that you get into them and you just love them. And over books after book, they develop and you develop with them. It's a talent. It's a major talent. It's not easy.
Sometimes I bring back characters because readers will say, well, whatever happened to the identical twin Boston cops that were in book 4, you know? So I'm going to bring them back in book 10. And so I'm telling your audience is going to know some stuff before I've even written it. But the twin cops, who are retired Boston police officers, their nephew in Salem has been accused of murder. And they're going to come back and try to solve this. And also, Aunt Ibby, your favorite character, and Betsy from book 9, from book 8, and Louisa Abney Babcock, who is Aunt Ibby's friend, who's been in several books, they're going to fancy themselves as kind of Golden Girls Charlie's Angels and help the twin cops solve this mystery. Because I don't know who got killed yet or anything, but that's where we're going with that. Isn't that fun?
It is. It's just fun. just to see Carol's face, how you can see the excitement.
To see the little wheels coming.
Yeah, the wheels turning. And you know, how do you, from the point of view, advice to authors, how do you keep track of everybody? Do you have a system that works for you?
Every writer does things differently, and I have, because I'm so familiar with the main character, sometimes I have to go back in another book and look. And also, Kensington provides me with a style sheet for each book, and it'll tell eye colors, hair color of people, different, just little things about their characteristics. I was about on book 7, and I went to describe Pete's eyes, and I had never in 7 books said what color his eyes were. So I said they were dark, but I had never said they were brown or hazel or anything. And it's and the style sheets, another good thing that Kensington does for us is keeps track of things like that. And the copy editor would have found it anyway if I was wrong. Oh, it takes a village to get one of these books out.
Yes, people don't understand things like what a style sheet is or what a copy editor does.
Yep.
So explain just briefly the style sheet.
The style sheet just... It's not a long document, but it does cover every character, every place. It'll say WICH-TV is a fictional television station, but shouldn't it be real with those call letters? And then I mention as many real places as I can, and they will identify in my style sheet that it is a real restaurant or a real witch store or whatever. It'll describe whatever physical characteristics I have described in the book for each character, and it's just a wonderful, handy device to have, and I refer to those. I have I just know the main characters so well, and I have a witch, River North, who is named, by the way, only Salem people would probably get it, but the main river that goes through Salem is the North River, so her name is River North. I never explain that in the books, but Salem people get it right away. So I have little Salem catches in there.
Well, and of course, you're prolific. It's not easy to write 2 books a year.
No, it isn't.
But if it was easy, everybody would do it. Exactly. But you need to do that sort of back. You finish one book, and it goes to an editor. And so many times, new authors or people who are just publishing on their own don't realize that this editing process takes time, too.
Yep. It'll take probably about 9 months from the time I turn in what I consider a finished product until it really is a book.
Yeah.
That you can hold in your hand. It was 9 months. Sometimes it takes longer. It depends on how they've scheduled the release of things. Like, they like mine to come out around Halloween. So, and sometimes it's September, sometimes it's October. And of course, the publishing side of it, a great deal of it is a total mystery to me. I have no idea how they figure their finances or how they figure dates or anything about that. I just trust them.
And you've done a good job in trusting them.
Heck,
because
yeah.
They have come out with book covers that are so perfect. I always, when I'm talking to writers groups, I always say, you know, if you're publishing independently, and a lot of people go that route, and it's fine, and you can make money, and you can do quite well, but to have that consistency in book covers is so wonderful. And you have, I don't know if your illustrator has won prizes, but I should be a prize-winning illustrator.
Because, it should be.
Because they are cohesive, and each one is like a little story in and of itself, and that brings you into the book. They are beautiful. The colors are fantastic.
Yeah. And the cat.
Oh, yeah, the cat.
There was one cover where Orion, my hero cat, Orion did not like it because he was small on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
And I relayed that to the editorial staff that Orion was not pleased with this cover.
Yes.
And from then on, it's this huge cat.
Orion takes over. But an essential element to the story.
Do you know that there's 2 artists that work on that cover? One that does the illustration, and the lettering is done. You know how so consistent,
isn't
so
it beautiful?
Pretty? That's done by another artist.
Wow.
I just found that out in the last book.
Well, it's evocative. The minute you see it, you say, "Oh, yeah."
And sometimes when I tell them what the story's going to be about, I haven't written it yet, and I don't know what's going to happen. And they like to have the cover and the back cover copy done before the book is even turned in. And in this one that's coming out next, how did I know that in the middle of the book, Buffy Doan, Lee's boss's wife, was going to throw a big Halloween party, which is not on the cover or in the back cover. So readers of book 9 will find a lovely surprise when Buffy Doan throws a whale of a Halloween party in the middle of it.
Wow. It's wonderful. I've just been in awe of you since I met you. I think you're amazing, an amazing talent. I love your books. I love your writing. Now, have you been translated yet into...
Not in these books. I have the kid books. I wrote middle grade books, and that's another one we definitely get no respect. Oh, it must be easy to write for children.
Oh, my
no.
God.
Oh. If you don't hook them right away, they'd put the book down.
Oh, exactly.
But that's a whole other story. I forgot what I was going to say
about translating your book.
Oh, yeah. One of those was in German. One of the kid books, Sandcastle Summer, was translated into German, and they called it Hello Surfer Girl. And that's the only book of mine that I have that I cannot read. But I understand from some German friends that it was okay. Although I'm published, the books are published in several countries, they tend to be English-speaking countries. And although I have one friend from one of the Slavic countries who writes to me fairly regularly, who happens to get my books. So she must get them on Amazon, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but they are in Ireland and England and Canada, of course. And that's gratifying.
It is.
Email from people around the world. It's just, the whole thing is so exciting and so fun.
Well, we have to check, and next time in Paris, go to the Shakespeare and Company bookstore, because they carry a lot of, you know, American books. And I remember walking in there and finding Mary Higgins Clark books. And
well, if they don't have mine, demand it.
Demand it. Really? That's it. Yeah. We have to demand. Well, Carol, I think you're wonderful, and I'm so proud of you. Are you going to go to BoucherCon 2019?
I don't think so.
Which is in Dallas.
I don't think so, because I want to go to Malice. And these faraway ones are kind of expensive. And I think I'll go to Malice next year and Sluice Fest again.
Well, it was wonderful that it was right here this past year.
Wasn't
in our
great?
Backyard.
Yeah. And we met all kinds of wonderful people.
Exactly. And the beautiful Vinoy Hotel was a wonderful, wonderful location for a convention, and everybody I met there, and all of the authors I've spoken to since who I met there, they all say that it was one of the nicest conventions because of the area. Mm-hmm. And we are very lucky to be living in this.
And it's a good writing community here.
Oh yes, absolutely wonderful. Well, you know, I'm headed for New York, and I'm going to be seeing a few authors there, and doing a little bit of work, and it's just always so exciting for me, you know, after 4 years of doing this program, just to be around the authors that I admire so much.
Sure. Oh, that'll be, what an adventure for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to stare at the tall buildings.
Yes.
Put your shoes on, Lucy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you do feel that way. I don't, you know, although I've been to New York many times, you just,
yeah,
you're
I
not
know.
A New Yorker. New York is like a very special place. Yeah. You go there and you're lost. You know, it's overwhelming.
It's so beautiful in its own way.
It is. It is. Yeah. There's so much that it's almost overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And until you're there and you're walking in a street, you really don't understand what a crowded street is. It's really, it's strange. You know, we have two people walking down the street, we say, oh, that's a lot of people on town.
But, must be rush hour.
Yeah, what's going on here? But so I'm like a little bit, I think that always happens, and that you're like, it's something, it's a special place. And of course, for authors and for publishers, that is the place. And so it's exciting to be involved in this whole thing. Well, I'm.
That went fast.
It did.
Nancy.
It did. And so you are a testament, just like Eugenia West was, that you can keep writing and enjoying your life and bringing out wonderful books that fill people's lives with joy. Mm-hmm. And that's so wonderful, because one of the things I tell everyone is one of the joys of life is to see words on paper, or to hear them in an audible book, or if you're really lucky, to hear those words, those magic words, lights, camera, action, and one day your book will be turned into a streaming video, a film, or maybe a television series right there on Lifetime or Hallmark Channel. And I wish, and I'm working hard, I want Carol's books to be on the Hallmark Channel, because she's got the right. Everything is perfect in your books. They were written as if they belonged on television. So we are keeping our fingers crossed and saying prayers.
I appreciate your good intention because you put out for me.
Really, absolutely perfect for Hallmark. They need a new, and they need Aunt Ibby. I'm just kidding. Some actress, I'm not going to say old, mature actress would kill for that part. Absolutely kill for it. So make sure you say something nice to somebody. I'm saying something nice to begin in the control room, because I'm running out of time. Bye-bye, Ed. Thank you for saluting me. Bye-bye.